రామాయ రామభద్రాయ రామచంద్రాయ వేదసే రఘునాథాయ నాథాయ సీతాయ పతయే నమః. అయోధ్యకాండ చాప్టర్ నంబర్ 65, ద వైవ్స్ లామెంట్. ద రెసిటేషన్ బిగిన్స్ నౌ. At day dawn, panegyrists skilled in the science of words and minstrels with the chronicles of time stored in the capacious memories gathered outside the sleeping apartments of the king, and with them musicians expert in auspicious song, and set about to chant the praises of Dashratha. The grand and sonorous sounds echoed through the hall and court. There were some among them who could express the complicated evolutions of time with their palms, and they sang his glorious deeds to the accompaniment thereof, keeping beautiful time. Thereat the feathered songsters, free and caged, awoke and discoursed their sweet woodland melody. There were others of the choral band who sang the names of the Almighty, Hari, Narayana. Some sang the praise of the holy ones, the sacred places and waters. Some played skilled music on the veena and other instruments. Some recited beneficial mantras. Some declaimed poems and epics composed in honor of His Majesty. The palace of the monarch echoed with these grand and auspicious sounds. Then entered the royal bedchamber such women, eunuchs, and other attendants as were skilled in the etiquette of waking kings. Others, who were experts in mysteries of bath, kept ready in golden jugs crystal water stained with heavy sandal and other fragrant substances, as the time and the season would have it, and as well as the Shastras have laid it down. Many a maidservant there was, young, pure, and fair, that bore auspicious cosmetics and essences, the cow and such other sacred objects to touch, powdered mixtures of coconut, sesame, and cumin seed to gargle after the teeth had been cleaned, to make the breath fragrant and sweet, roots and herbs of mystic potency, the sacred waters of the Ganga and other sacred streams, holy tulsi leaves and water that were offered at the feet of Sri Ranganatha, the household deity of the Ikshvaku line of kings, to cleanse the soul of every sin and infuse might and right to engage in all good and pious works, mirrors, clothes, ornaments, flowers, garlands, and other toilet gear. Every one of the articles kept there for monarch's use when he awoke to the duties of a new day was the fairest and the best of its kind. The assembled crowds waited in the antechamber to pay their respects to the king before the sun should rise. But when they saw that His Majesty came forth not even after sunrise, vague suspicions crossed their hearts as to what might have befallen their beloved lord. The royal ladies that slept near the king roused him gently and respectfully with appropriate words and expressions. They touched him, they shook him, but they failed to detect any breath, motion, or heat as betokens a sleeping man. They knew very well the usual signs of sleep, light, heavy, and profound. The movements of the limbs, the beating of the heart, and the deep and regular breathing. They observed him variously and minutely, but could discover none of the above signs of life. Mighty fear then took hold of them. They trembled at the horrible suspicion that forced itself upon their minds that their Lord had gone forth from their midst, never to return. They shivered and shook like the slender water plants that lie in the path of a roaring torrent. Then the truth was forced upon them that the suspicions were but true. Meanwhile, Kaushalya and Sumitra slept the sleep of exhaustion and despair, and awoke not as usual. Even as a bright star swallowed up in the darkness of some terrible eclipse or heavenly portent, the elderly lady lay pale, lean, emaciated, and almost shrank from the sight of men. It was almost impossible to distinguish between the dead husband and his living wives, Kaushalya and Sumitra. The women of the harem counted the queens too as dead, and raised their voices in a loud and piteous wail, even as she elephants in the forests, when their bull is torn away from them and the hunters drive them away from their homes. Kaushalya and Sumitra suddenly awoke to the unusual and ominous cry, and tried their best to arouse Dashratha, their lord and master, convinced at last that his life threads had snapped. They fell down like uprooted trees, shrieking, "Ah, Lord!" Like a bright star fallen from his home in the firmament, Kausalya was a pitiable sight to see, her queenly form dimmed with dust and dirt. The royal ladies stood dazed and speechless when they beheld their king dead and Kausalya fast following him, even as a herd of she-elephants when their bull and its favorite cow are dead. By that time, Kaikeyi and the other wives of Dashrath came there and, realizing the great grief that had befallen them, fell on the ground with agonized screams and cries. Louder and louder rose the sounds of woe. The inmates of the palace had enough grief and confusion when Rama went away from them and Dashrath pined in consequence. Now, on top of it, came the death of their beloved lord and master. Frightened, dazed, they shrieked aloud under the merciless strokes of grief. The attendants and royal kinsmen mourned their master with answering cries of sorrow. It was a cheerless and even repulsive sight, the bright and happy palace erstwhile. His wives could never believe that Emperor Dashrath, whose flame illumined the three worlds and who kept grim death away from him for 60,000 years, was overpowered by the foe at last. They caught at one another for support and wheeled around him like helpless creatures wounded to death. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.